come and just open your heart, our hearts for this message today, that we might hear from you and be changed and challenged by it. Amen. So I grew up in quite a broken kind of world, where it be Northern Ireland, in South Africa, or the Middle East, or USSR as it was then. And there seemed a lot of conflict around. But there were people involved in that conflict, drawing people together. And as I was thinking particularly of Terry Waite. Who here can remember Terry Waite and all that? Yeah, quite a few of you. He was a guy who got involved in many different hostage negotiation situations and eventually was held captive for, over a year in Lebanon. And he was involved in that reconciliation between the parties, and it was quite difficult, his situation. But he'd done many things before then and since then. And if we look at verse 8, and you can see it on your service sheets, this text from the Corinthians reading we had read from, it says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." In other words, what he's saying is we were enemies of God. It says that, believe it or not, it says that in Romans 5:10. "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son." What does that mean? It basically is saying there isn't a fence to sit on with God. You're either an enemy of God or you're a friend of God. And God's desire, even if it's not our desire, is to be a friend of everybody. It's God's desire to reach his hand of friendship with everyone. And he does this through Jesus Christ and the cross and him dying and his resurrection, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And as we are drawn into that friendship with God, he says, "I want you to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation and help others to find God." Now, here, as you know, we encourage people to get involved with church, even if they don't have a faith. So if today you don't have a faith, don't worry. It'll be interesting what you think about what I say about us sharing our faith, because we love having people exploring faith. And this is not a place for believers. It's a place to explore faith and to find out. And this ministry of reconciliation is something as Christians we're all called to. Now, some people, like Terry Waite, that was their business, if you like. That's all they did was reconcile. But we all do it, don't we, in our families? And anybody who's got children will know that there's a certain amount of reconciliation which goes on there. And sometimes with friends and neighbours and members of our family, we're all involved in this reconciliation. And it's the same with Christians too. Some people are specifically called, it's their thing, is sharing faith. It's the thing which they're called to do, is to share their faith. But all of us should be involved in it in some way or another. It's called, in the Bible, we call it the Great Commission. The thing that the church exists for is to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the world that we've given in. And I'll talk about how we might do that in a minute. But I want to also acknowledge that the journey to Christ is not something which is I'm not talking about an instant thing, oh, I was told about Jesus and then I became a Christian, or I gave my life to God, or I became a child of God. It's a long journey that people go on. And certainly if I look at my own journey, I went to Sunday school and I kind of thought, well, this is boring, I don't want this. But it turned out to be quite significant for me and I didn't realize it. I grew up in a family that believed, but I still rejected God. And then when I became a teenager, I came into all knowledge and I knew everything as a teenager and constructed a very wise argument then against Christianity and viciously fought against Christianity and rejected all forms and had many arguments with Christians, telling them why they were wrong and God did not exist and everything else that went with it. And it just took actually one conversation and one challenge I had with a Christian, as many of you know, who I had an argument with and I won. But the argument I eventually lost was when I met God myself. I then had to shut up because it's quite hard to argue against God when you meet God. And my argument went out the window. But it was a long journey for me of rejecting God and exploring, looking whether it was true, deciding it wasn't true. But little people, and I had a conversation, one very significant conversation I had very drunk on the streets of Oxford with a guy who was trying to persuade me that it was real. And I obviously was interested because all my friends were carried on to the next pub, but I stood there arguing, proving him wrong. And I became a Christian probably about 20 yards away from where I had that argument. I also went to college in Oxford to study ordination, and I actually had my ordination service probably less than 100 yards from that same spot I had that vehement argument against a Christian. It was a journey for me, and it is for everyone. But why do we share this news? Well, if you look around, it's not hard to see the world that's broken. And I'm not just talking about the wars. In our families, in our friendships, in the suffering in the world, immediately around us. Some of us will have very much experienced suffering ourselves. And the truth is, the only solution, I believe, is found in God himself. Because I believe he created the universe and he's trying to reconcile it. He's trying to mend it. And we have to decide whether we're going to let God mend our lives and mend the world, because he will do it through his church and through us. He's not a forceful God. If you reject God, God will not force his way on you. But the brokenness in this world will come through God. It won't come through Brexit or anything else, although we pray that these things may go well. The solution is ultimately that peace that we're looking for, that contentment in life, despite all the challenges of the world, is only found in God. But us sharing this good news is not something which should be unnatural. It should be natural. And if you look at the other reading in 1 John, it says this, verses 41 to 43, this wasn't read out. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We've found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and brought him to Jesus. This was a very natural thing for Andrew to do, to share his faith. He said, "I found this amazing guy called Jesus. Come and meet him." And that is essentially what sharing our faith is. It's simply introducing ourselves, not to Christianity, but to Christ. It's introducing people to Jesus. And like when I met Jesus, I got the shock of my life because I'd got up every argument against Christianity, but I couldn't argue against Christ when I actually met him. And I couldn't help but tell everybody, "I can't believe this has happened." And I went to my vicar that I'd known as a child and I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" And he tried to blame somebody else, who I won't mention. But it was quite interesting. I was so shocked to find it was real. I'm sure people did tell me along the way. I just wasn't ready to hear. But as I said, this is a natural thing that should happen. I remember, as Joe mentioned the other day, is when I got my first iPhone. It was in the days when Apple were not interested in making money, but making the best phone on earth. And frankly, I think they succeeded. A bit debatable these days. But I couldn't help, "Look what this does, it's just amazing." I just went around showing everybody my phone, and you have no idea how many people got iPhones because of me selling it to them. I wasn't paid by Apple, I just thought it was an amazing thing and you just had to know about it. But I also want to talk about one of the number one reasons that people don't share their faith. And one of the reasons is fear of rejection. People are afraid that they'll A, reject Christianity, but worse still, that it'll be a personal rejection for you. And people don't like personal rejection, and I don't blame them. But I want to ask you this. Do you really want to live with fear of rejection or fear of other human beings? I grew up having been consumed by fear. And my journey is, again, part of my journey with Jesus is that I was terrified of talking to people one-to-one, let alone public settings, let alone people on the street and all this kind of things, all things I've now done, as God took me on that journey of dealing with my fear. And it is a case of facing your fear, but I want to say you do not do it alone. I mentioned in a sermon fairly recently about how the disciples in John 20, when Jesus died, they locked themselves in a room because they were terrified that they would be killed too. But what really changed was the Holy Spirit came on them. You see, that's the whole thing about Christianity, is it's not you working harder. Nothing about Christianity is about what we do, but what God's done and what God will do through you. In other words, the Holy Spirit enables you and gives you the ability to do what you cannot do. That's why things like the Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the first things they do is they say, I can't do this, but I'm going to rely on a higher power, God in other words, because I can't do this. And it's the same for Christianity. I can't do this, so I'm going to rely on God to do it through me. So it's not a case of trying harder and failing yet again in our lives and living that life of failure unless you're a highly successful person. It's about God enabling us to do what we humanly cannot do. And that was certainly my story. And I have preached on the streets, and I have, some of you may not know this, but I have danced on the streets. I have. I did everything I could to get out of it, but I did it. And let me tell you, for somebody who dances the way I do, you need God to do it. But it was a result of my reconciliation with God. It was God healing me and my fear of what other people wanted to do. And I'm not saying God will necessarily dance on the street, but he wanted to take me on a long journey of into a boldness when I didn't have any boldness at all. He wanted to deal with that in me and the freedom of being not afraid anymore of anything in life is a wonderful freedom to have. Last thing, I also want to say this is God's agenda. Well, Jesus may have gone up to heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit. He's here with us right now. He's here with you when you're on your own. He's here when you're in your workplace. He's here when you're at school. He's here with you wherever you go. You are never on your own. And if you want to know how much God loves you and how much he wants people to receive this amazing news of this transformation, reconciliation with the God, that empty cross says it all. Jesus died on the cross for you. That's how much he wants you to be reconciled. It's not that God's trying to persuade people that God doesn't want people. It's that God wants people to come to him and be reconciled to him. And the cross says it all. It talks in the reading about being compelled by love. And our response, God is compelled to love us. And our response is to be compelled in love to share the faith. But we must be intentional about our faith sharing. And God provides opportunities for us to be intentional. You do not have to contrive some corny way and go round, and it's unlikely that many of you will ever be sent to South America or Africa to share faith. Most of it's done through friends and families and neighbours in your workplace, at school. That's where it happens. And God will simply open a door. I remember when I went to university, people got to know I was a Christian and they'd say, so what's the Christian thing view on this or whatever? And I took my mum, some of you know I was away last week because I took my mum to hospital. I sat there in hospital and the guy on the bed opposite just started very naturally. He asked me what I did and I said I was a vicar and straight away it started a conversation about God. And then we talked about God and it just very naturally flows. God will open doors for you. You just need to walk through them. You do not have to contrive artificial things. God is longing to share himself with the world that we live in. The truth is, most people in this world do not want to find out the truth about God. That was my truth. They never asked the questions which would lead them to God. They close the door, and God is a God who does not force himself on people. It just took me one opportunity where I actually genuinely looked to find God. Now, I want to share this as a way of sharing your faith, and anyone here who doesn't have a faith, I'd be quite interested what you think of this. What we must not do is say, I've got the truth, and you're wrong, and I want you to believe my truth to be converted to yours. Because that's simply not a truth. We are not holders of truth as Christians. I do not believe that because I'm a Christian, I'm right. Okay? Jesus says, I am the truth. James is not the truth, and you can challenge anything I say here because I'm a human being and I say things wrong and I do things wrong. I am not the source of truth. I am not the place to come to find out what's right. Jesus is. He says, I am the truth. That's why we introduce people to Jesus. So if you want to share your faith, simply ask people questions which they've probably not asked. And God says, those who seek, find. That's what happened to me. I did a little moment seeking, and I found God. So what you do is you simply ask questions. So somebody may come along and say, I don't believe in God. And so I'll say, well, why not? And they'll say, well, because all the wars, all the religious wars in the world. And so I'll say, well, why do you think that God starts those wars and not humans? And they go, well, you know, they're about religion, aren't they? And I say, well, maybe God doesn't like those wars and doesn't like that religion either. What do you think about that? And I just keep asking questions. Because what that does is it shows that you're interested in the person. You're not trying to convert them. God will reveal himself to whoever he wants to reveal himself. That's up to God. Our job is simply to be open and honest in the ministry of reconciliation with others. Okay? So our job is simply to ask questions. And if you want a good question, ask, where are you with God? I have never had anyone been unwilling. Even an atheist will say, very happy to say, where am I with God? Don't believe in God at all. And that's a very legitimate answer for that's where that person is. And you say, that's interesting. Why are you an atheist? And you just keep asking questions. Because if they are genuinely, openly seeking truth, the truth, Jesus didn't bring truth, he is truth. So if people are looking genuinely open enough to find truth, they will find Jesus. Which is why I say, as a vicar, I am very open that Christianity is a load of rubbish and that God doesn't exist. Because as a vicar, I'm wasting my life if God doesn't exist. I am that open. I really am. If you think that God doesn't exist and you can show me that, I want to know about it. I should be the first to want to know about it. But because I am genuinely open, I find what I believe is truth, Jesus. I resisted truth with my arguments, but when I finally said, I want actually to know the truth, I found God, who is truth. Does that make sense to you? Because we're not sharing truth, we're sharing a person, Jesus, who is the truth. And last of all, just want to say very quickly that God wants you to use your own personality. Now, some people are evangelists, and they are pushy, confrontational people who will just keep going, pushing on people, and they can be quite obnoxious, and they get in people's faces, and they keep pushing, and some people need that. And I'm one of those people, because I was so amazed when I found God that I found now, from being that shy person, I now just keep push until somebody goes, look, I've had enough, James, shut up. But most of you are not like that. And I've preached on the streets, I've had arguments with people on the streets and done things, stupid things. But God does not want, if that's not your personality, he does not want you to be that. Some of you are intellectual. You love debating. You know, most people in this country don't even think Jesus was a historical figure. And yet, no secular, not Christian, no secular historian of any credibility would ever believe that. And yet people don't even believe he was a historical figure, let alone who he was. So some people like just intellectually arguing over things like that and discussing them with people. Other people are just brilliant, what Joe and I call scrummy people. They're friend magnets. Everybody wants to be their friend because they're just lovely people. And in their loveliness, they just share their faith very naturally. Others are inviters. We throw all sorts of things on in church, which you can come to and explore faith. You don't have to believe. I've said it 100 times. You don't have to believe to come here or to come to any of our barbecues and the various things. Just invite people. Some of you are servants. You just love serving friends and neighbors. You do things for them, take them to hospital, get food for them, care about them when they've got babies, and all these things. And we've heard it, didn't we, about street angels. Just utterly crazy. What crazy middle-aged person would go out on the streets between 11 and 4 o'clock? Just crazy love. Crazy love. A way of serving our community. Not with an agenda. They're not going out to say, oh, we're Christians, you've got to believe me. They're just going out to love people. Isn't that amazing? But having said that, at some point, you do need to use words. It's not enough just to say, oh, I hope they'll see I'm a Christian and become a Christian. You do need to use words as well. So I think I'm going to finish there. So this ministry of reconciliation between you and God, if you don't have a faith here, can I ask you, where are you with God today? On that reconciliation with God. At least openly go and explore it. If you are a child of God, your job is the ministry of reconciliation to friends and neighbors, work colleagues, people at school. And this week, I just pray that God will open a door and you'll go, ah, this is my door I need to go through. It's not easy always walking through that door, but you'll see the door there. You'll know that, ah, this is the moment that James said, that God wants, that they are interested in faith. Because the truth is, if God exists, he wants everybody to know him, and he will open doors for you to share your faith, because that's his agenda. Look for those opportunities this week. But isn't it wonderful that we can destroy this fear? If you were like me, I was racked with fear. And in this process, God will take you on a journey of utterly releasing you from any fear of what anybody else thinks of you. That's God's agenda. He wants you to be the person God created you and to share your faith in the style and the personality that he created. Nothing artificial. I just stuff things on my Facebook or Twitter or on Instagram, whatever it is, just things about my faith. I just mix them in with my normal family life because it's church is part of my everyday life, so I just make it part. Let's pray.